You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Connor took us into international waters again this week with news from India. He spoke to Victoria University's Manjit Paradesi about how China's trade war with the US will impact India's growth as the country becomes a superpower.
This trade war that's going on with the US and China at the moment, with Trump and Xi Jinping exchanging tough words between each other, where does that leave India in that situation?
I mean, India is highly vulnerable, actually. We don't really know the exact impact. There are some analyses, including some by the Indian Confederation of Industries, saying that India may be able to use this as an opportunity in the sense sell some medium-level technology which is being sanctioned or put tariffs on by the United States vis-a-vis China. India could jump into those sectors, like in the automobile sector, for intermediate parts. But that's a sector-specific thing. On the whole, the impact of the U.S.-China trade war on the Indian economy is completely an unknown. There are other Indian fears as well that China might use India as a dumping ground for products on which the U.S. is imposing sanctions, because India is a large enough economy as well. So we don't quite know what's going to happen. But on the whole, this is bad news for India, because India is entering that stage in its economic development where it needs globalization, as an open globalization, to be going. But if these trade barriers are going to come up in the world, and at a stage when India is entering India's hoping that its economic development takes off, it's not good news on the whole.
Over the last sort of 10 years or so, we've seen cities in India, like I'm just thinking of Gurgaon in Delhi or bits of Bangalore, that have really modernized and become these kind of tech centers. I mean, is this essentially the start of India almost playing a similar role to China, where they're making, you know, cheap, high-quality products en masse at a much lower price and at a competitive edge compared to, say, the US or Europe?
So certainly places like, there are niche products, I should say services, where India is doing exceptionally well, and that's why you have examples like Gurgaon and Bangalore, among others. But this actually represents the services-led economic growth model of India. And the services-led growth model has done India some good, in the sense economic growth rates did take off, but it did not generate mass employment. So the current government strategy, and the strategy of several governments even in the years before, has been to develop some sort of a manufacturing base in India. So as opposed to a services-led growth model, bring in trade in finished products into the picture. But for that, you need an open global economy. And it seems like these tariffs that are emerging in the manufacturing sector and in finished product sector, including primary products. So this is not good news. To what extent India's services sector will be impacted remains to be seen. From what I understand at the moment, this trade war is about finished products, manufactured and primary products, and intermediate parts. It's not about services, at least not at the moment.
I remember not long ago seeing US President Trump communicating with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi in a very warm and welcoming kind of manner that certainly didn't seem to be shared by Xi Jinping from China. Do you think that in sort of Indo-American relations are good enough at the moment to warrant certain American companies, instead of maybe shifting manufacturing to China, sending it to India instead?
This is a complicated question, to be honest. On the whole, I think the U.S.-India relationship has certainly taken off, and I would say has taken off. It's been almost two decades now, I would say since the late Clinton years. It's been on the upward swing. We can debate about how fast, how slow under individual presidencies in the U.S. or governments in India. But on the whole, I would say that the trajectory has been forward-leaning in that sense. And certainly some of the media reports that came out of the meetings between Trump and Narendra Modi, they seem to get along with one another. But Trump, from what I understand, is a bit of a wild card, so nobody knows which way things are going to flow. But I do want to emphasize that they have come up with a few, India and the U.S. over the last several years have come up with joint statements or joint worldviews regarding, for example, the Asia-Pacific and the Indian Ocean. So as far as this larger strategic context is concerned, the U.S. and India increasingly find their strategic geopolitical interests, well, I wouldn't use the word convergent, but certainly there are broad overlaps in their worldviews. So in that sense, there is a level of comfort between the two countries. The military-to-military relationship in particular has taken off. The U.S. and India, for example, now conduct more military exercises with each other than either country does with anybody else on a bilateral basis at the conventional level. So this is quite a big deal considering that you know, the U.S. and India were on opposite camps during the Cold War. The trade and economic side of the relationship is underdeveloped at the moment. So I am not sure that just because there is a trade war going between the U.S. and China that American companies all of a sudden are going to discover India, but that the Indian domestic political situation is extremely important. And India remains a relatively closed economy for the moment, although reforms have taken place over the past several years, but they are slow and gradual. So it's not clear to me that American firms are simply going to discover the Indian market just because there's a trade war brewing between the U.S. and China. So in a nutshell, U.S.-India geopolitical relationship is going well, and the trajectory is forward-leaning, but the economic relationship is kind of stagnant. Stagnant is perhaps the wrong word, but it's not certainly taking off in the way expected.
To what extent do you believe that India's usage of the English language is going to give them sort of almost the upper hand over China in the next coming decades?
I am not sure if that really matters in the larger scheme of things. If you think about it, the Japanese economy did so well. They don't speak English. And the Chinese economy, the Korean economy, they've been doing so well as well without using the English language. India certainly did make use of the fact that it uses the English language, and that's why you have the services sector doing so well in India, places like Gurgaon and Bangalore again. So India has certainly made use of that. But beyond that, I am not sure how much of an edge India has in terms of its geopolitical development as a rising power or as far as economics goes, because the success in East Asia essentially shows that you don't have to speak the English language to grow economically.
In terms of just looking at the domestic situation in India as well, relative to their sort of economic growth, I know that India's suffered from a lot, you know, obviously religious and ethnic tensions. And I think, you know, even just solely looking at the election of Narendra Modi leads a Hindu nationalist party and, you know, various spates of violence against Muslims and in the country as well. How much do you believe they're going to have an impact on the country kind of uniting and moving forward economically and really almost in the similar way that China has?
India will not be the next China, and I don't think I'm the first person to say this, if the hope is that the Indian economy takes off at 8 or 10% like China has been over the past several decades, then that is, well, I wouldn't say impossible, but is extremely difficult. And for India, the priority as a developing democracy is domestic politics, is day-to-day governance, is how to manage the tremendous diversity of India. So yes, over the past few years, ethnic tensions have been on the rise. And that's why India will prioritize the Indian government as well as the Indian civil society and the media will make sure that the issues of the day that are debated both in politics and in the civil society remain about Indian domestic politics and how to manage the basic needs of the vast Indian population while keeping their basic rights intact. So in that sense, India will be focused on itself as opposed to the larger world. This is, of course, not to argue that India is not going to pay attention to foreign policy per se, but the priority for India will remain domestic politics and development.
Finally, talking about sort of just to kind of wrap this all up, how do you expect India will take a more prominent role on the world stage, or what can we expect to see from India in the next few decades in terms of economic development?
I think as far as economics goes, we will see perhaps more companies, more global companies coming out from India. We've already seen some important tech companies coming out of India, especially in the services sector, from the Tata Group, for example, or Infosys. We've seen some big pharmaceutical companies coming out of India as well. So economically, there will be more global companies in that sense coming out of India. Also, the Indian economy is expected to grow based on projections from PricewaterhouseCoopers or McKinsey or the big consultancy firms and investment banks. It's already the third largest economy in the world in terms of purchasing power parity, and I think in another 10 years it will become the third largest in terms of market exchange. So in that sense, India will also offer an increasingly growing market for foreign companies. So the two-way exchange between India and the world will certainly increase, not as fast as China, just to put things in perspective, but certainly will increase as the Indian economy continues to grow. So in my opinion, India's major impact will be economic. Geopolitically, India will throw its weight around as well, especially in its near abroad, basically the region stretching from the Indian Ocean into East Asia. So that particular arc will see an India which is more comfortable working geopolitically with other like-minded partners, the United States and Japan in particular.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.